Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Thursday. There is a new app for Podcast One. Go into the search engine on your smartphone. Simply type in Podcast One. The app is going to pop up, download it. There has never been an app like this. You are going to get everything about your favorite shows. You're going to get more content from my show. You're going to find articles, social media, episodes. You can make playlists. It's easy to comment and connect with other fans of the show. It's like we've got our own little community on there. Share your favorite content, see behind-the-scenes photos, get 360 video, and watch a bunch of shows in virtual reality. There's over 1,000 videos on there right now, and it's going to be like you're in the studio with me. So go in and download the Podcast One app. Hey, Jacob, let me bring you in on something. So the biggest fight in years in MMA, I mean, just years and years and years, 2 or 3 years, and maybe 2 or 3 years in the future. It's this Saturday. It's John Jones versus Daniel Cormier. However, I got to make this point to you. It's almost gone under the radar. I mean, there was so much buzz, so much anticipation. Tickets sold like crazy. All of a sudden, Conor and Floyd gets announced. You can't hear about this fight unless you're out looking for it. I mean, if you're looking for coverage on any of the big shows, from Rome to Le Batard to FS1, ESPN, listen, it is Mayweather and McGregor. And the reason I make this point is Oscar De La Hoya made this point. Oscar was so pissed that this fight was coming up because he has Triple G versus Canelo less than a month later. And he was so mad going, wait a minute, I've got the real boxing contest. I'm going to get crushed here because you guys are throwing on this unreal boxing contest. This is Oscar talking. This unreal boxing contest that shouldn't even be happening from a business standpoint. You're going to shut down us guys that actually deserve to do well. And I always resisted him even saying, I was like, hey, I don't get that, Oscar. This is just a great time to be a fight fan. Everybody wins here. You are right. You have a huge fight that you've promoted wonderfully. You match made it perfectly. The timing happens to be right, which we see wrong in boxing all the time. You did such a good job. But so did the guys that are putting on Mayweather and McGregor. Well, if there's anything I learned from this Jones DC, it's there's some legs to what Oscar is saying. When one fight is overshadowing all the others this much, I mean, absolutely eclipsing the others, I can't any longer argue against Oscar because he's right. His fight is not getting talked about. It will. He still has some room. Jones and Cormier don't. Their pay-per-view, this is a million pay-per-view sale any way you slice it, except right now they're not going to do that. In fact, they're going to do 500 to 600. They're going to do half the business just because people keep forgetting when it is. I've been in discussions with people at MMA gyms, at my own practice, saying, hey, when is DC fighting Jones? When's DC fighting Jones? He's fighting him this Saturday. But there is a truth to Oscar's point that, you know, when all the media starts focusing on one fight, you do lose sight of some of the others. And it is unfortunate. I mean, it's a timing thing. There's no way around it. But I didn't know that was a real phenomenon. When Oscar started saying that, I go, well, you know, come on, sour pants here. You tried to get this fight. You don't have a hand in the cookie jar here. A lot of that is true. But it turned out Oscar's point's a little bit true, too.
So the McGregor and Mayweather is a phenomenon. Cormier and Joe. Okay, how big was their first fight? Were they both undefeated at that point?
Well, so Jones is actually not undefeated. Joe Rogan just goes around telling everybody he is, and most of us agree that he should be. Jones was disqualified in a fight for a rule that Joe Rogan specifically, and look, Joe's got to take the weight on this. Joe specifically does not agree with this particular rule of a 12-6 elbow. It really doesn't matter if he does or not. Jones did it. It's illegal. He lost. He is not undefeated. But so many people will attempt to rewrite history, including Jones. So, well, you know, I'm undefeated and blah, blah, blah. So, well, no, that's just not true. You do have a loss. So to your question specifically, Jones had that one loss that the world has chosen to put an asterisk by, though they should not. It was a loss. It was a loss. Nothing I could do.
Was there a huge hype for their first fight?
Yes. Yes. To remind you, they're the ones that got in the fight at the press conference when Dave Schaller goes tumbling down, and I think one of them even ended up throwing a shoe at the other one after they were separated. They got brought before the commission. They were fine. They had to do community service. Yeah, man, it was a huge, huge fight. And this one would have been bigger.
So this
fight... It won't be now.
Okay, but this fight has bad blood.
Oh, yeah.
Very bad blood. I'm guessing they've already had their press conference. I haven't heard about it because, again, to your point, we've heard nothing but Mayweather and McGregor. But it's got everything. They're fighting for a belt that Cormier did not beat Jones for the first time. And now he has to defend it. And we were just watching highlights just a minute ago of their last fight. And you're saying Jones is doing everything right against an Olympic champion.
Yeah, a two-time Olympian, but in wrestling. Yeah, he didn't win the championship, but Cormier was a two-time Olympian. You know, it was not a very close fight the first time. It was fun. It was close by John Jones standards. I mean, Daniel was in there. The rounds were close, but they kept going to Jones. I thought it was 5-0 John Jones. The official 3 judges all saw it the same way. 4-1 Jones over Cormier. So it wasn't that close in that regard. Now, Cormier disagrees. He thought he won it. He thought he did say, you know, I let up a little bit in the second round because I could feel him fading. I wanted to recatch my breath. And once I lost my composure, I never regained it. You know, he had said some different things where he had an opinion of that contest that is not what I saw and it's not what the judges saw. But by John Jones standards, it was still a hell of a close contest. And to your point, yeah, man, there's bad blood. And Cormier has been untouched. Not only is that his only loss, no one's even gone with him. You know, Gustafson gave him a run for his money, but Johnson sure didn't either time. You know, he's really been a very dominant champion. In fact, when I watch these two guys, it is easy for me to come to the conclusion that Daniel Cormier can beat him. The problem is I saw them fight, and that's just not what happened.
Well, don't the fighter rankings have DC listed as higher than John Jones at this point right now?
Yes, but
pound for pound?
Yeah, not pound for pound has John Jones, but the division's rankings has DC, but it has to. DC is the sitting champion. And people get confused on that all the time because Jones had an interim title. They actually took that away from him. He was the champion. He never lost the title. That got stripped from him. So there is a little bit of confusion there in the average fan. But DC is actually the sitting reigning world champion. And DC wants this fight. I mean, you know, there's something compelling about that, too. He gets in the ring. I can sit here and say the fight wasn't close all I want, and I'm right. I am right on that. However, DC's opinion has to matter. And he came out of that ring saying, I can beat this guy. Give me another chance. He tried to do it 2 years ago. It just didn't happen. And then it was supposed to happen in summer of last year. And that's when Jones got hit by USADA and then had a service suspension. So there's been things that have happened. But when you have a guy like DC that was so willing, I'll put myself in here. I have never fought a guy ever that beat me. Never wrestled a guy ever that beat me where I didn't say, give me another chance. I can beat him. I can close the gap. I can make it closer. Give me a shot after that. I'll make it even closer. Give me a shot after that. I can surpass the guy. And that was the mentality. You always had that. I fought John Jones. He is the one exception to that. When I got done with him, John, go enjoy your championship. I'll be over here in the corner. Our gap was too big, Jacob. I could not close it. At my age versus his age, no matter what I did, I was not going to be able to close that gap. Cormier came away. He also got his ass kicked, and he got out-wrestled. He's the two-time Olympian. He got out-wrestled. I think it was 4 takedowns to 1 or 4 takedowns to... I can't really remember. It was so long ago, but Jones is the one that did the wrestling, the striking, the whole bit. Pushed
beat him
the pace,
at his own game, yeah.
Beat him at his own game, just did absolutely everything. Then we find out he did it all while high on cocaine. I mean, this is just what happened, right? All of this comes out. So I guess the point is, when you have a guy like Daniel that's so good and so talented and so willing, Daniel Cormier can start steering that ship. He could go be taking easy fights, making the money, keeping that championship. He never did it. He did the honorable thing, the competitor thing, to hell with the money, to hell with everything. This is the guy that beat me, and I'm going to make it right. And for me as a fan, man, how cool is that? How refreshing is that?
It's kind of like those old days back when, you know, in the schoolyard, the teacher would let fights roll out kind of thing between the two guys. It's, or even the bullies, you know, they're back in the day when there would be the bully, the kids getting picked on from stuff I've read, from true stories. They didn't let that bother them. They're like, you know what? I'm going to get back up and I'm going to try to beat that punk until I can beat him. Or I'm going to find some kid who can beat him, have him train me, and then I'll beat that punk.
Sure.
And maybe they didn't even, but they put up a fight. And the bully kid would be like, you know what? I might be able to still beat this kid, but why try anymore? Because he's not afraid of me.
He earned his respect.
He earned his respect, and every time I fight him, I'm going to get a black eye for it, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to look like the loser. I might as well just make up with this guy and be friends. To DC's credit, you know, maybe he did get killed. Maybe let's go Jones's way. Maybe he did get killed. But DC, even if he admitted it, he's like, I can still beat that guy, like you're saying. And yes, to his credit, he's got the championship belt right now. He could play the smart nitpicky way,
right?
Of like, I don't want to fight Jones anymore. He's had his shot, and I want this guy, the kind of thing. And more or less, I think most people would go, yeah, go ahead. You don't have to fight Jones anymore. But no, he's putting his belt on the line.
You know, I really appreciate you saying that, Jacob, because if the roles were reversed, make no mistake, this fight is not happening. Now, ultimately, Dana might have stepped in and, hey, it's going to be my way or the highway. But if John had his druthers and John was in charge and never went through suspension, you can bet your ass he'd have ducked and dodged and come out with the excuses and this guy doesn't deserve it and I'm not going to give him the opportunity. He's done all of that to guys in the past. I was one of those guys, but he's done it to several other guys as well. Daniel Cormier with the strap called out the baddest dude. It was John Jones, no question. He could have gone after Jimmy. He could have gone after Bader at one point. He could have, you know, rumbled. There's a ton of stuff he could have done. He said one guy's name, and it was John Jones, the baddest dude out there, the baddest dude to have ever done it, and the only guy to have ever stopped him. There is honor in that, and his legacy will reflect that. And these guys that are ducking and dodging, you know, all the way down to the great Demetrius Johnson, history is going to reflect. And the record books can say you broke the record, but the rest of us that were here and saw you duck TJ, that's just going to be a reality for him. And that will not be said about Daniel Cormier, regardless if he gets another loss here. John Jones, if the roles were reversed, we'd all be sitting here as fans, leaning back, rolling our eyes, going, man, somebody get this guy in check. Daniel's the top contender. That's the fight we want to see. You're going to do the fight. And I guarantee you, John would have had a different story, and he would not have done it. He just stood strong. You know, John owes Daniel a big thank you, because Daniel is a sportsman that goes, hey, you're the right guy. You're back now. Let's figure this out. And we wouldn't be in this spot if the roles were reversed. We just wouldn't.
So that being considered, it's coming up Saturday. How long does this fight go, and where do you think it's going to be? Because watching the highlights, you know, DC was getting beat on both ends, on his feet and on the ground.
Yep.
Do you think DC just is like, you know what, let's screw feet. Let's just go straight to ground, or is he going to try to beat Jones at his own game? Which is, from matchups I've seen that I've had a chance to watch, usually the guy who lost the first one, who got beat at his own game, that's usually what happens. They then try to take the new title defender, if you will, and beat them at their own game. Maybe it's a grudge match, maybe it's a psych game, I don't know, but does DC stay
Ego.
On his feet? Yeah, DC stay on his feet for that?
Okay, so let's discuss the good news here. Daniel Cormier and John Jones, you are correct, did beat him in every aspect. He pushed a little harder than he did, so he had the conditioning, which is probably the biggest thing. It never gets talked about, but that's probably the biggest thing. John Jones outpushed him. And I don't know how, because he doesn't train as hard as him, but he did out-cardio him. John Jones outstruck him, he out-kicked him, punched him, and out-wrestled him. However, the good news for Daniel Cormier is he was never hurt. Daniel never took a shot where he went down or almost went down. He never took a kick where, you know, he flinched and had to double over, and he took some really hard shots, but he dealt with it and he pushed forward, showed a ton of heart. So that's the good news, that he could stand up with John Jones and just try to catch him and try to outpoint him. The bad news is he wasn't as fast as him. He didn't land as much as him. He didn't have as big of output as John Jones is. But Daniel could stay in either realm and be competitive. You asked me first, yes, a couple questions there, but first off, how long does this fight go? I think we see another absolute five-round war. I don't think that that's going to change. Seeing either one of these guys get submitted or knocked down is just not something we've seen in their past, so that would have to come in as a surprise. And then the other side for DC, we know what to expect. We're not going to see a spinning back kick and jumping off the fence, and he's so dynamic and surprising. No, he's pretty straightforward. He comes in, he's a bull, he buries that chin, he keeps those hands up, he stays busy, he's powerful, he looks for that takedown. We can't say that, unfortunately for DC, we can't say that about John Jones. The one thing about that sumbitch is he comes out with something new every single time, and once we think we've seen it all, he comes out with something new. There has never been a fight where he didn't come out with something new. It has been funny to me to listen to Goldberg and Rogan call John Jones fights, because Jones will do something that we've never seen before, and they have to then tell us what the name of that move is. Well, that move doesn't have a name. And I mean, I watch these guys, and it's so far, I put myself in their shoes. I couldn't do any better. How do you call out a move that you've never even seen before? But that is how dynamic and creative and innovative John Jones is. So you can sit and game plan for DC all you want. You're going to get it right. Now, can you stop it? That's a whole other story. But can you at least prepare for it? Yeah, bet your ass you can. You cannot do that for John Jones. He comes out with new stuff. Some of it people talk about, it's illegal. Oh, he's kicking guys, you know, in the oblique, which is 1 inch away from the kneecap, which is illegal. You know, he's spinning this way with elbows. He's coming that way with singles. He's throwing saltos over the top. No one knows what this guy's going to do. And you just can't take your eye off that. And every time he advances, you know, fight after fight, month after month, year after year, it's like, okay, well, eventually this pot of tricks runs out. It's like music. There's only so many notes. It hasn't ran out with John Jones. He's going to do something in this fight we've never seen before. I guarantee.
This is like a comparison between like two hard-nosed coaches. And I'm specifically thinking of two football coaches, Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry. They used to be coaches, partners together on the same team, but Lombardi was the guy who was be like, we only run six plays in football, but we run them so good, we can tell you what's coming and you won't beat us, because we've run those so many times, we've seen everything come at us this way, we're just gonna plow right through you. Then Tom Landry was the inventor, the creative guy who'd come up with something new every game, and everyone would be like, what just happened. And to my knowledge, I don't know if they really ever faced each other, but it's kind of like that whole hard-nosed guy who's just be like, I can do this better than anybody else. But then you got Jones over here who's like, well, you never saw this coming.
Right.
This is going to be fun.
No, I love your comparison there, and I so get it. And I subscribe to the basic one of, this is what I do. Try it.
It's a dare.
That's right. I'm daring you to stop it, you know. And some of that's what Mike Tyson did. Everybody knew what he was going to do. You just couldn't stop it. Babe Ruth would walk out to the mound, tell you where he's going to hit the ball and hit it. That doesn't make that right. I've seen the gamesmen that come out there. I've seen the John Jones, by example. And there's something to be said for that, too. But you do have to have your foot in one of those two camps. You know, I came from a wrestling background. The two greatest colleges ever for wrestling were Oklahoma State and Iowa. Iowa had a theory that if something doesn't work, you do it again, but you do it harder. You do it harder and harder and harder and more intense and more powerful until it works. Oklahoma State's theory was, if you can't fix it, forget it. There's enough moves out there. If you're trying one and it's just not coming, throw it away and move on to something else. Totally different theories. Both of them went back and forth on national championships. So no one's really to say which one is wrong. But it does seem as though you're in one camp or the other. And Jones is in the absolute element of surprise. And he delivers every time. And, you know, there was so much. it's very rare, Jacob, that you're the best guy and the toughest guy, because you don't ever have to be. If you're the toughest guy, that will take you to a gold medal. If you're the best guy, that will take you to a gold medal. It's once every 10 years we see a guy that's both. John Jones, we all thought, I was training to fight the guy. I mean, I studied this guy, eat, slip, and breathe this guy. He was so good that we just assumed, well, he's not very tough. We can go out there, we're going to push the pace, we're going to get him tired, and he's going to completely crumble and quit. Seen these guys a million times. I'm fighting John Jones. His toe came out of his skin. Do you know about that? The bone was showing. It came out of the skin. And the fight would have been stopped. He wrapped up his foot. They tried to take him to the hospital, which means he'd have to skip the press conference. He wraps his foot himself, shows up to the press conference, does the whole thing for an hour, answers every question there is, and then goes to the hospital. So don't tell me John Jones isn't tough. Okay, I'll tell you how good he is. But don't try to tell me that son of a bitch isn't tough. He happens to be both. And that combination, you got to stop a guy like that. You got to catch him on his chin. You got to extend and break his arm. You've got to do something and get rid of him. He's not going to go away. He's just not. So what do you do? Now, Daniel Cormier is the same way. Daniel Cormier is very good. He's not as good as John, but he is as tough. He'll never quit. If they want to just take time limits out and just go until somebody, I mean, you're going to see an hour and a half fight before one of those guys goes, look, I can't do another round. They're that tough. So you do. So this is where that youth does matter. That reach can be a little bit more of a thing. That speed matters. That output. That's where John Jones had Daniel in this last one. It was straight up output. He landed way more shots, but he threw way more shots. He worked harder in that contest. And those are variables and intangibles that are a little tougher to quantify. And I remember when that fight was going to go on, I had sparred with DC a lot, and you know, you kind of got to keep that quiet what goes on there, but I fought John Jones, and so I had my own opinion. Look, these guys aren't that close. It's going to be John Jones. But I had that firsthand experience of feeling them both and going hard with both of them. DC just has a different opinion. He's been in there with John Jones, and he will not hear any of this stuff that the rest of us are saying. He will not hear that that wasn't a close fight. He will not hear that that gap was too big. He will not hear that he was outstruck or out-wrestled. He thinks that he took his foot off the gas. He thinks that he won those early rounds regardless of what the judges said, and that he'd be not lost his composure, and that's a quote, that's exactly what he said, his word, that he would have won the whole thing. So I'm in. I am told, and he's not just saying it. He's willing to put his name on a contract and walk his ass out there and prove it. That's compelling to me.
And hearing all that as well, I have a hard time imagining that DC is going to allow John Jones to out-tough him or out-compete him. I have a feeling he learned his lesson almost immediately after the fight was over. He was like, whoa, this guy is tough. Like you were saying, I'm just going to have to be tougher. Because it sounds like, from what we're just talking about right here, that John Jones is the better fighter. But as we're also talking about, you can out-tough a good fighter. You can just keep coming and coming and coming. Like, we see that all the time. So DC, I think DC is just going to be like, you can bring all you want at me, but this time, I repeat, not going to outwork me. I may be the more tired one at the end of our fight, but I'm going to come out on top and I'm going to make sure I'm more tired.
Sure.
Because if that's the case, then I win this fight.
Yeah. And is this USADA thing with John real? Was John getting away with something for a while until his luck ran out like Lesnar's did? Is that what was happening? Hell of a speculation, but it's also very fair to say, considering he just came off a suspension for failing an USADA test. The other side of that, and I saw pictures of John. No, he looked pretty damn good. I mean, he kind of looked like the same guy, if not even a little bit better. So maybe that's not the case. And John was being straight with us on that one. But then, you've got the Daniel side of it too. Well, here, you used a term a moment ago. You said, learned a lesson. You want to know who else learned a lesson on this card? Dana White. Dana White's been burned by John Jones more than once. So not knowing, am I going to get burned again? Is something going to happen at the last minute? What he did, and now we all get a benefit from it, he threw another title fight on here. He threw Woodley versus Maya on this card just in case his main event goes to hell. He's still got a hell of a card delivered. Well, if this stays intact, now we got Woodley versus Maya. That fight is very interesting, too, because if you want to know who the better fighter is, make no mistake, it's Tyron Woodley. Don't make the mistake that Damian Maia couldn't go out there and bitch him out in less than a round. If Damian Maia gets to his position, which is on top and on the back, and he does it in the first round when Woodley's dry, Maia could, he could finish him, and we all go home. We never find out who's better. We just know who wins the fight. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes we don't always find out who the better fighter is, move for move, skill for skill, heart for heart. We just find out who won the fight. And Maya's got his positions. He can overwhelm anybody, has overwhelmed everybody. And Woodley will be no exception. I don't know that I'm willing to bet on the fact that Maia could get somebody as talented and as athletic and as smart as Woodley to that position. But I sure couldn't guarantee it doesn't happen. That's a special talent right there.
Yeah, it's a risk, but like you're saying, why not two? And also, two would be good, especially since we were talking about Mayweather and McGregor. There's probably just a little bit of, let's say, push to make this card one of the biggest we've ever seen. Because we've only got like 2 days left.
Sure.
What else can we do? What can they do to make this suddenly explode, even if just for one day? Because we're all going to be talking about McGregor and Mayweather until the fight, and past the fight. We're going to analyze that fight for all it's worth, no matter what the outcome. But it's going to dominate the headlines forever. But can these, we have to find some way, or they have to find some way, to get them for at least one day to make this fight bigger than anything else, including McGregor and Mayweather, just because. And two title fights, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
That's not bad.
Even if the second one is a weird one, if there's even the possibility that something might come back on us, like if there's a submission tap out all of a sudden and everyone's like, what just happened? Even if we didn't see who the better fighter was, we at least had a surprise.
That's right.
At that point, we'll take anything.
That's right. I've only missed two UFCs in my life, and I've never missed a Bellator. So I'm pretty easy money. You're going to get me to push the buy button. But I am getting a little bit more picky as there's all this MMA out there. You want to know what would guarantee I'm sitting down, taking the night off, and I'm pushing that button? Donald Cerrone versus Robbie Lawler, and that's also been moved to this card. That's a very interesting match that could also end very quickly for either guy. Interesting for a lot of reasons. Was supposed to take place over International Fight Week, got moved out a few weeks, blah, blah, blah. You know, top contender from one division, taking on a former champion in another division, two stand-up fighters, you know, one that throws a little bit more volume versus one that throws a lot more power in Robbie Lawler. It's a really interesting match. And when you stack all three of those, boom, 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 and this card is still going to do half of what it would have done had Mayweather McGregor not been in there. Half. Let's do the math real quick. For every 100,000 buys, that's $5 million. You do 1 million buys, you're looking at $50 million. They're going to end up doing about 600. They're going to do between 5 and 600,000, probably closer to 6. You're still looking at about a $40 million. No, you're not. I said it too. A $20 million swing. I mean, that's a hit, but there's nothing they can do. Whoever controls the media is what the biggest fight is. You can't force the media to do it. They're getting better clicks and better headlines right now for Mayweather-McGregor.
Yeah, I don't know what you can do to top that. In fact, you really can't, other than just to deliver consistently.
Sure.
And yeah, at that point, just give the guys a good fight. Give them a good night, and we'll call that good and see what happens moving forward. Because once McGregor and Mayweather are done, everyone's going to go back to UFC. The only, like, we've talked about this before, boxing has its honor at stake in this fight. Mayweather has to kill McGregor in one round, two rounds tops. Otherwise, boxing's in trouble. Either way, if it goes beyond that, boxing's in trouble. So we all go back to UFC. So if that's the case, then Dana's probably just like, you know what, it's going to blow over. But meanwhile, let's give our loyal fans something they can, the ones who would buy every single time, and not the masses, if you will.
Yeah, that's right.
The masses will come back.
Hey, it comes down, we talk about it all the time, but the show must go on.
Yeah.
You pick your dates, you do the best you can, and business moves forward. And who are we crying for? They're going to lose $20 million. Well, let's not forget, they're still going to make 30. So, all right. I mean, things are still going to be okay over there, but it is interesting. I do have to tip my hat to De La Hoya. You know, he called this early. I didn't think it was a real thing, you know, because I'm such an avid fan. I'm going, man, I'm watching both of them. But it is real. As I watch the media and I watch the energy and I watch people get excited, man, if you're not on ESPN, if they're covering something else, it's just the reality. And I mean, that's just the reality. And Oscar called it ahead of time. So whether I'm making a concession or an apology to Oscar or if I'm just pointing it out, I'm not sure. I'll let you decide. I tell you guys what, whether you're headed to grandma's house, the beach, or you're loading up the family in the car for parts unknown, driving season is in full swing. And the last thing you want on your road trip is to have it ruined by an unexpected car repair costing hundreds, even thousands of dollars to fix. That's why I recommend getting extended vehicle service protection from CarShield like I did. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your air conditioner can cost as much as $1,500. A new engine could cost over $5,000. Get covered by CarShield, the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection. It's affordable protection that can save you thousands of dollars for a covered repair. And it's not just mechanical repairs. Your car's computer, the GPS, the electronics, even a simple repair like a sensor can cost you over $1,000. Guys, you can have your favorite mechanic or dealership do the work. CarShield gets the mechanic paid directly. You don't have to worry about being reimbursed and dealing with all that annoyance. They do it all for you. Sign up today and you'll get the VIP treatment from CarShield's administrators, 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is in the shop. Save yourself from high repair bills. Get covered by CarShield like I did before something goes wrong. Go to carshield.com/chale and you will save 10%. That's carshield.com/chale. CarShield.com/chale. A deductible may apply.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app.
This one's a game changer.
There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more.
Plus every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen.
And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more.
So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself.
Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcast1.com.
You're welcome.
You're welcome
with Chael Sonnen.
Oh, you know what? I meant to mention this last week. Brew Chance sent this over, but Demetrius Johnson won the ESPN Fighter of the Year at the ESPY Awards. Demetrius Johnson is the third MMA fighter to win the award. He's alongside Ronda Rousey from 2015 and Conor McGregor from 2016. Tremendous award. Beat out the boxers, beat out all the fellow fighters. Really big deal. Congrats to DJ on that. One thing did come up, though. Brew Chance brought this to my attention, but Justin Gaethje versus Eddie Alvarez were announced as the tough 26 coaches. And Dustin Poirier had come out, and he said that making Eddie Alvarez the coach on that was a big slap in the face. Now, where Poirier comes from on this, if you'll remember, Poirier had fought Eddie. Eddie had used knees that were deemed illegal, and Poirier won by a disqualification. Or did that go to a no contest? Did they call that a no contest? You know what? I think they did. Did they give that to Poirier? They no contest. I think they no contested it, which was wrong. That is what they did. They no contested it, but Eddie should have lost on a DQ. He broke the rule. Okay, you know what? None of that, that's actually not the point of my, that is what happened now that I recall that. However, and Poirier is not wrong to feel this way. I'm not here to tell Poirier that he's wrong at all. In fact, as a fan, I thought we were going to see that again. However, the Ultimate Fighter is a huge vehicle, and it is a huge compliment to get put in that position. You're going to get it put on TV a whole bunch. You're going to go into a big fight, which is what Eddie and Gaethje will do. It's likely going to be a main event, even a five-round affair. Eddie Alvarez, in fairness, even though he did do a violation in that fight, in fairness, he is one half of the biggest gate in MMA history, $17.1 million. Now, he stood across from Conor McGregor. But either way, he stood across from Conor McGregor, and he is one half of the biggest gate in history. And secondly, Eddie is a world champion, and there's no way around that. And regardless to what happened that night and how Dustin feels, a world champion is going to get some opportunities. I would also just offer this one point, and this is not to go against what Dustin said. He has stand in this matter. I do not. I just to set the table and make sure we tell it fairly. Justin Gaethje called out Eddie. And Justin didn't call out Poirier. He specifically called out Eddie. Well, when Gaethje came in and had that incredible debut and all of a sudden had some steam behind him, when he got elevated to that spot and he called out Eddie, it moved Eddie into that spot. I mean, that's just the way that it happened. I don't believe that Eddie and Poirier's fight and what happened in it played any kind of a factor in this decision as much as Gaethje was this young guy on fire. It was the right weight class that's being contested. And he said Eddie's name. So, yeah, maybe Eddie got a bump on that. I just don't think that Dustin, I don't think Dustin got slighted, even if he feels like he did. I don't think that that match factored in.
Well, also, there's a few thoughts I have on that. One, you get your name called by a champion. They see you as worthy, per se, of a fight.
Right.
So that's a compliment in itself. And if the champions especially, noticed you, then you're going to get called again, maybe even to compete, whether you lose or win, or specifically if you lose, you're going to get called again because you got that close. Now, also, even if you weren't officially recognized by the people who hand out the trophies, can we be honest for just a minute? The people who... This is a voted and a judged and a biased decision. This was not, I went into a ring and I beat this person. Like how many people were up for an award at the ESPYs, for example? Like who did Demetrius Johnson beat out? Has he fought any of them?
Is this an actual question? I don't know.
It's kind of a real question, but more hypothetical. Has he fought any of them? It's almost apples to oranges, especially if there were like.
It's politics. It's the power of the pen.
Like, there, you maybe had a UFC fighter, maybe you had a wrestler, maybe you had a boxer. It's different sports. So who's to say who's the better fighter unless you actually pulled something like Conor is pulling against Mayweather? But then, we've talked about this before. If Mayweather fought McGregor, we all know who wins. And most people are predicting correctly, I believe, that Mayweather's going to kick McGregor around, but at least he was trying. But you can't really say who's the best fighter in that category. But the fact that you got mentioned by the people who have bias, have politics, that you got acknowledged and nominated for best fighter of the year, that's something. If you got that's almost not even a snub.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. There's not a, I think maybe we could say it this way. There's not a ton of honor in being fighter of the year for Demetrius, but boy, there's a compliment there.
It's a compliment and it's huge recognition.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, it should make him feel great. Is there honor because he earned that through a competitive atmosphere where he went head to head with these other fighters?
Where he actually tried to fight everybody kind of thing?
Right. No, there was not a competitive architecture in place, but that's what this sport is. There's not a competitive architecture that put Conor and Floyd there, but boy, are we happy that it happened. And, I don't want Poirier to feel slighted. I just don't. Listen, Gaethje had a good performance. He got put into that spot. Gaethje called out Eddie. Eddie accepted the challenge. Boom, there's your coaches. Is that right or wrong for ratings? Or I don't know. But that's what happened. I don't want Poirier to have his feelings hurt. And Poirier should know this. Those guys are going to be put on ice for almost a year until that show's done, until it finally gets put out, until it's all the way complete. I mean, it's going to be 9 months. Poirier could get a couple of fights in between then. And I can tell you, as a Poirier fan, I want to see him. So Maybe a little silver lining. Maybe I'm trying to smooth that over a little bit, but I do bring up a fair point that that is the way that that's going to go. Another thing that Brew Chance brought to us, The Rock. Dwayne Johnson had said 10 years ago he was very close to jumping into MMA himself. He was going to train with Greg Jackson, and he was going to get in there. I do not believe him, but I do not care. That's a cool thought. And The Rock would have sold well. He'd have not fared very well. But if he could have got in there 10 years ago, pre-USADA, he probably could have got a fight in there. And whether it went well or not, I guess we would just have to wonder what could have been. Because from a showman standpoint, that guy stands alone.
Well, and true, the what could have been discussions, the speculation's always the fun part.
Agreed.
The results, you can dissect them for however long you want to, and then it's done. Unless there was like real controversy. But then the will they, the won't they part, that's what makes especially the fight matchups so great. Because we talk about dream matchups all the time. Like, who would we want to see fight all the time? And then you talk about how you saw those fights back in training all the time. But and then you say, I wish we had a video camera. That's right. That's one of my biggest regrets. And but the rest of us, we can only just live on what people who saw that in those gyms said, because we never saw those matchups. But we still talk about them.
Sure.
We talk about it all the time.
Some of the best memories I have is stuff that I saw in the practice room, matches that would have been put on pay-per-view, but you could never see it. It was teammate versus teammate. One more rumor, and this one will be fun for speculation, is that Cyborg is on her way to WWE for an appearance in exchange for Brock Lesnar. Now, I do not buy this rumor. Because this is not apples to apples, okay? Brock is the hugest star ever. Cyborg's a gal that's been trying to get some notoriety. She's known amongst the hardcore fans, but she's not moving the needle. Now, we're having a totally different conversation when and if Cyborg wins that championship. I'm coming to you with a totally... This is how quickly the landscape can change. You would have asked me Justin Gaethje is going to coach an Ultimate Fighter 1 month ago. I would have laughed at you and everybody else would have too. Now? Yeah, absolutely. That's a main event guy. Can't wait to see him fight Eddie. So things do change very quickly. The WWE that's always a couple of steps ahead. If, let's just say if. If there's, see, here's the thing why I've always sold this Cyborg thing. Nah, that's not true. First off, you know, she's not well enough known. Second, what in the hell are you going to do with her? Fight people don't really know who she is, let alone wrestling people. Her English isn't good enough. I just, what are you going to do with her? But those guys are very creative. Now, let's say that the WWE can convince Ronda to come back and do an angle with Cyborg. The big show-off, showdown, the big face-off that even MMA wasn't. You know, Coker couldn't make that match. He had them both. Dana couldn't make that match. He had them both under contract. What if Vince could be the one to finally put on the face-off between Cyborg and Ronda? Would that then be worth Lesnar? Maybe, actually. Yeah, it might be. I just don't know that I buy that they're trying to work a trade. Vince and Dana have a good, solid relationship. Hey, man, I think I can do something here. Can I get this guy? He wants to do it. Hey, man, can I get this gal? She wants to do something over here. I think I can do some business with her. And they both just kind of said yes. So I don't know that there's any horse trading going on there. That part I would sell. I don't totally buy Cyborg to the WWE because I don't know what you would do with her. Whenever they bring somebody in, particularly at a WrestleMania standpoint, they brought in Ronda, but everybody knew who Ronda was. It was right at the right time. They brought in Floyd Mayweather, but everybody knew who she was. It was the right time. To go back to the 80s, they had a deal where Mike Tyson was supposed to go to the WWE. He got knocked out by Buster Douglas. They pulled Tyson's deal, and they brought in Buster Douglas. One thing about the WWE is they understand what iron is hot at the right time. So that's where I don't see the Cyborg now. But if you are looking to the future, she is likely to become the champion. And if you could insert Ronda, all of a sudden you've got something there. Is it big enough for WrestleMania? No, but is it big enough for a 6 to 8 minute spot at WrestleMania? Yeah, sure it is.
On that note, really quick, you're mentioning WD knows when the iron's hot. Did you see that the dad of that guy who got drafted by the Lakers, LaVar Ball?
Okay.
He went out. So I think Lonzo Ball got drafted. I think it was the number 3 pick by the Lakers. Yeah,
I know
that.
Everything you're going to say.
Yeah, LaVar Ball came out with his kid, Lonzo, out to the WDE ring, and LaVar set the crowd on fire. I don't think there was a match. I just saw him come out, take his shirt off, and scream at the guy who was going to fight. And people were like, you know, we don't think... It was stupid to think that they could grab LeVar Ball for competitions, but they were like, that was good. That was what people wanted to see because LeVar was hot.
Everything that old man Ball is up to lately has been smart. I mean, he's made claims about his boys. You know, one of his boys isn't all that great of a player in comparison. Frankly, two of them aren't all that great in comparison. But he's making claims that they whip Larry Bird. They'd whip Michael Jordan. They beat Kobe right now. They could outdo Shaq in his heyday. I mean, he's coming out and making these wild claims. He then came out with a BS thing that Nike had offered him a half a billion dollar deal for all three boys, and he turned it down. It's not enough. The bad news there was Nike came out and goes, we didn't offer him any kind of a deal. But you see what he's trying to do there, right? He's trying to create this media hype, and it worked. I don't even follow basketball. I heard about it. Here I am telling you about it today. I mean, there were some smart things there with what he was doing. So, and it sounds like you liked him. It sounds like you liked the work and the presentation they did, too, from an entertainment standpoint.
It was a good hit, and let me tell you, it's an old saying, any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it turned out bad or wrong. If your name was in the media, you had your moment, and he knows how to build on it. We got to give him that.
You have to give him that. I fully agree with you. So let's see what they do at WrestleMania. I just don't know that I buy the horse trading. There is a rumor that Brock wants to come back. I don't buy that. You know, the USADA thing grabbed him. And, you know, as you look at him, he's all of a sudden put that 20 pounds back on that he lost. So it's like, I don't think he wants to be in the pool anymore. Hey, you want to know something? Let me switch gears a little bit. I wanted to bring this up to you, and it left my mind, and it jumped right back in. So let me go to it now. It appears that Bisping and St. Pierre are now trying to get that fight back together. And they just might succeed. I mean, I don't know. You know, Dana has said, look, Bisping's going in this direction. He's got Whitaker. He kind of has to fight Whitaker because they did that interim title, and that's just the way it works. Now, I know that interim title has been just a marketing piece, and you do whatever the hell you want with it, but there has been very loosely a few rules they have followed, a few protocols, which is if you have an interim champ and you have the undisputed champ, you put them together. So I don't even know that that's an option now, but they certainly could. I mean, they've gone back on everything else on the interim belt. It has proved to just be a marketing thing. You certainly could. They've said George is going to go on and fight the winner of Maya Woodley. But if George and Bisping got something worked out and they take it to Dana and the fans have already been promised, I mean, what do you do? It's an interesting spot. At some point, it's like, George, you're working us. At some point, you're finding a way to keep your name out there. You're keeping those sponsors alive. Man, are you going to do this or aren't you? I don't know when that point is because the guy's in the gym twice a day, every day. He's in great shape. He's training for something. So I just don't know when that point is. But, you know, everybody's trying to get their shot at Bisping. He's the champ. Now Weidman wants him. Weidman's not going to get him with one win out of four fights. Rockhold is going to take on Branch. You can never discount Romero. Don't forget about this Whitaker that happens to have 12 pounds of gold around his waist. And then what happened to Jacques Rey all of a sudden? He doesn't exist anymore? Yeah, hell yeah, he exists, and he matters. So there's just so many moving parts. It's like, look, at some point, the George Bisping thing's just got to go away. But those are the guys, and the principles. And the hardest thing about putting a big fight together is getting the two guys to agree. You know, we talked about this with Conor and Floyd. They had both agreed. So where in the hell's the promoter at to sign it? Well, finally, that came to the table, but that's not the history of fighting. It usually doesn't work that way. Usually, the promoter tries to get them together. In this case, you got Bisping. You got George. They're saying they want to fight. Then let's sign the damn fight and do this, or we've got to move on completely. And I think we might already be there. I think with the Whitaker emerging with that title, we might already be at that point, and that ship has sailed. I just don't know how, from a PR standpoint. You can do anything you want. I get you can do anything you want with the power of the pen. With the power of the eraser, even more powerful than the pen is the eraser. However, you are in a little bit of a jam if you want any kind of validity. And they've already said, the sports kind of said, look, we don't want validity or credibility to the interim title. We just want to do an interim title. But there is still that little bit, that little tiny string you're holding to. If you have an able and willing Whitaker and an able and willing Michael Bisping, and you don't put them together, golly, I think you're in a jam. You're in a bit of a jam.
That belt's gone at that point, yeah.
You got to just go, guys, this whole thing's make-believe.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's good. I think that's a bad thing.
And you said they almost admitted that they that's a joke anyway. It's just more or less just a show.
Sure.
But let's make it a good show.
Right. Yeah, more or less that interim title can be pulled out at any point. But the one thing that has been constant is when there's an able and willing interim and there's an able and willing champion, you put them together for the undisputed title. That has actually never been broken. It would be a first. Maybe you break it, and that's the only way you can get George St. Pierre back in there. I don't know, but George is a risky one, too, because it's a checker player's move. If he comes back and he gets over on Bisping, do not think for a second he's defending that title. He's not. So then what do you do? Do you put all your eggs in one basket for a pay-per-view that's going to do 800,000 buys, or do you put all your eggs in two baskets for two pay-per-views that could both do 6 to 650?
Well, St. Pierre at that point, in my opinion, he's had his moments. Now he's back. He's got to start from scratch. He's got to work his way back up. He's going to sell pay-per-views for sure, but let's treat him for what he is. You know, maybe not at front and promotions, but behind the doors and signing, they just got to sit down with him and say, hey, you got to work your way like everybody else now. You've had your fun. You've been in the news now. You've had your publicity. But and maybe he still has some power, at least for the first fight. It's his comeback. He can pick what he wants. But as soon as that's over, we can't give him a championship fight right after that. He's going to work his way back up.
Yeah, the biggest fight you can do is a grudge match. But the second biggest fight you can do is a comeback fight, and you only get one. And George needs to play that card appropriately, and I think he did, and he got his way, and he got Bisping, but for whatever reason, that fight never happened. We were never told why it didn't happen. It appeared that it was on George's side, then Bisping's been on the shelf too, so it's like, well, we never got told why that fight didn't happen. I think if you're George, and none of this is a slide to Bisping, this is just guessing with his style matchup, I think he likes the matchup of Bisping more than he likes Maya or Woodley. So I think George is just looking at it going, look, what's the path of least resistance? How do I come back? And I don't have to cut weight for it. I'm guessing. But I would think that that's probably how George's mind is working and going, why am I going down? I don't care who wins between Tyron or Maya. I personally, with my skills, find that a harder fight than just walking in a fight and Bisping and staying comfortable at the weight. I think that's the simple math in his head. But I do think that that ship's probably sailed, and I think it probably should have sailed. Once you put Whitaker in, and he does, unless Whitaker could be suspended or medically this or hurt or time, whatever it is, if you've got an able and willing Whitaker, golly, you got to put him with an able and willing Bisping, or we just have big problems with this interim championship. And there's already problems with it. I'm not the huge defender of it. I get why everybody hates it, but it does have a place. But the one thing holding it together is that those two guys then are guaranteed to match up. So sounds you got to match them up, right?
Yep, sounds like they got to do it.
Sounds like they got to do it. All right, guys, A&E's Emmy-nominated, groundbreaking docuseries with Leah Remini. Jacob, do you know who Leah Remini is? You would know her. She was Kevin James's wife on King of Queens, just to put that in perspective. You know who she is?
Yep.
Okay, rings a bell. Okay, she was in Scientology. Now, I know about this because I've watched this so much, and I've been so intrigued by it. She left Scientology, and she's got essentially some horror stories to tell. Her experience was not good, and she's telling it. And listen, all about Scientology and the aftermath. This is going to return for season 2 on August 15th. Okay, there is 10 all-new episodes. Leah Remini, Scientology and the aftermath. Follows Leah around along with the high-level former Scientology executives and church members as they delve deep into the shocking stories of abuse, heartbreak, and harassment experienced by those who have left the church and spoken publicly about their experiences. This season, Leah Remini continues her quest to give a voice to victims of the Church of Scientology. The series also explores accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practices. Leah Remini is helping people take action, turning survivors into fighters, revealing truths, and seeking justice. Watch the first season of Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, online, on demand, and in the A&E app. And Jacob, I'll tell you this. Viewers have really clung to this. They seem to love Leah. She tells her story from her perspective. She brings in the facts of, look, here's what happened. People have really flocked to this. Not a lot of people that have left the Church of Scientology. And this is a bit of a sensitive topic, right? You got to respect anybody's faith. So yeah, I kind of want to use the right words here. But when I'm a viewer and I'm just breaking down a show, you can tell that she is giving her account from the heart. This is what happened. And sometimes it's hard to get that information. She's telling it. And the audiences are flocking to her. And they are admiring her from her bravery. Because some really bad things happened to her when she did it. But she is being brave. She is absolutely the face of the movement. Mark this down. Make sure you watch it. It's going to start August 15th. Go back, watch the first season if you already haven't done it. It's on demand. A&E is the network. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it on the show because this is one that I'm going to watch. You got anything else for us?
I got nothing.
Well, as it turns out, I got nothing. So until tomorrow, for Jacob, I'm Chael, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.